Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to welcome the new people here. I noticed there's a few. Sometimes when you come into a new place, you kind of wonder, well, what's acceptable? What do I do here? And what's my behavior? Or how do you take things? And one thing we've been focusing on in the last few years is that we're not so much focused on your behavior, but we're focusing on what we believe. We're focusing on our identity. We're focusing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're focusing on the message that Christ is in us and he is the hope of glory. And what we do is we want people to realize who they are in Christ. And once we've discovered who we are in Christ, we can behave according to that. Amen? Not behavior management. Nobody wants that job. But rather, we want people to become free to know who they are in Christ and behave accordingly. Amen? So we've been talking about Game Changers and Graham Cook. And I wanted to share on peace, because I know now the days that we live in, it's about us grabbing a hold of something of who God really is, and that's the only way we're going to stand in the days that we live in. So if you're going to be a game changer, and this is a quote out of Game Changers by Graham Cook, you need to receive from God. Because if you do not, you will receive from the world around you. And if you do not receive from God the fruit of the Spirit that you need in a particular situation, you will default to a negative emotion. Being a game changer means that you understand why he's present in every situation. And I want to quote 2 Thessalonians 3:16. When Paul prays, he says, "May the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance." Yes, yes. What Paul is saying here is that in every circumstance, the Lord God Almighty is able to grant us peace. Amen? In everything that we go through, God has been able to grant us peace. Peace today, now more than ever. And Jake's been talking a lot about the kingdom and the ninth fruit of the Spirit. And we talk about kingdom when we understand that we are born again. When we understand that we're born again, not of this world, but of what? The Spirit of God. Come on. Is that scripture? That's the scripture. He says we're born again of the Spirit of God. That means we're not born of this world. Now there's a new birth that we have in Christ Jesus that makes us kingdom people. And with kingdom people comes kingdom access to kingdom's resources. Huh? So when I'm up here shouting, "Jesus, Jesus, you've overcome," that's me too. Because he overcame, I can overcome. Because he faced the same situation and same situations, and he overcome. Amen? Did he or did he not? And what I'm seeing in this church, the church in America right now, is there's a great awakening to the reality that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Christ is not in the world, the hope of glory. Christ is not in your religion, the hope of glory. Christ is not in a pattern. Christ is not in a person per se, but Christ in us is the hope of glory. Yes, yes. So you dig deep and you realize who Christ is for me, right? The realization, the awakening in the Spirit of God that God loves me because he loves me. Because he loves me. Because he loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right? That's what we received from God. You can't receive that from the world. And what we're finding and we're seeing is a huge dynamic difference between the world and between God. And which one are we going to receive from? Come on. Okay, so we say God. And this is why Jesus preached the good word. In Mark 1, verse 14 through 15, it talked about when John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee to preach the message of God. And he said, and this is the message, Bible says, it says, Jesus said, "Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message." Yes. "The time promised by God has come." This is another translation, Living Translation. "Has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is here. Repent and from your sins and believe the good news." What is the good news? We can be born again of the Spirit of God. We can receive all that from God, what he is now. Right? We can receive it all. We can receive it all. Come on. We cannot operate by the things of this world, but we need to operate by the kingdom of God. That's what Jake's been preaching about. And we are intentionally in a world that God wants us to reach out to him and pull down his love and pull down his resources to deal with the situations that are in us, because that's the world where we're from. We're born again. So let's not be shocked when we're in situations and circumstances in this world that requires that from us, because that's when our light shines, amen? See, God's kingdom is limitless. Say limitless. Is there a lack of love in heaven? Is there a lack of finances in heaven? Okay, how about the world? Is there a limit to finances in the world? Is there a limit of love in this world? There is. So which one are we going to receive from, and which one are we going to pull on? We get shocked sometimes when people's love, the best love that I can give you just isn't enough sometimes. Or my best behavior, you know what, is exhausting because, you know what, it lets people down. Have you been let down? Have you let yourself down? And in a world where everything is based on performance, when things are based on how smart you are or how well you do a job, is your value, you can be easily crushed when you fall short. Right? And people are falling short in this world, left and right. You could say Republicans, you could say Democrats, you could say the president, you could say all these things. But it shouldn't be shocking to us as Christians and believers that we fall short. Right? It's now is the time for the church to rise. Now is the time to find our true identity of who we are in Christ and grab a hold of that and hold on to that, because that's what's going to do the deal. That's what's not going to run out. That's what doesn't let down. Amen? Yes. Come on, you're in it right now. You're in it right now. God's kingdom is limitless. It's in abundance. It's overflowing, unlimited in resources. But the world is limited. Come on, there's a shaking going on in the church. We can't receive it from this world. It's a humbling thing. And the time is now to turn. What Jesus was saying is to repent and believe in the good news in the gospel, right? In every difficult person or situation, there is a fruit of the Spirit available to you to make things turn around to something wonderful. Come on. Who lives in you? Are you telling me that the creator of the universe, the power that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you? Let's do it again. Who's in you? You're telling me that the creator of the universe, the spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in you. Something's happening there. You know what's happening? You're realizing who you are. That's just who you are. I don't have to say, don't do this, don't do that, do this. You respond accordingly. The creator of the universe lives in you. The spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives for you. And I go, yeah. And I start to get it. You started to get it there. Yeah. It's kind of like an awakening. An awakening isn't changing anything. An awakening is you like sleeping and coming out of, you're still the same person. You just got up. You just see it. Yeah. That's who I am. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's here. He's here now. Right? He's here now. So when we read scriptures like 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Right? You belong to God, my dear children. You have already won the victory of those people. Because the spirit who lives you is greater than the spirit that lives in the world. It is acceptable in this church to shout. It is acceptable in this church to clap. I don't know. You may be new. You may think, hey, you know, I'm excited about that, but I just don't want to offend anybody. You can clap. You can scream. It's all right. Yes. Thank you. Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? That means you have a choice. You have a choice right now on how you want to respond to this situation. Nobody or no thing can condemn you to accept a negative spirit, A spirit of depression, that which is contrary to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the nine things that Jake preached about, that shared a few weeks ago, was what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kind, all of them. Just name them all out. It's right there. It lines up to who you are in Christ. And our problem isn't our behavior. The problem is we are coming in disalignment, which could also be disobedience, to what God says we are and who we are really in Christ. It's illegal behavior. That's not who you are, right? I'm a citizen of America. You don't break laws. Well, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You act accordingly. But it's freedom is the key. And I am passionate about a people's freedom. I really am. I am passionate about people's freedom. And as a pastor, you deal with people and you say, don't do this and don't do that. And I'm tired of that. Yeah. I really am. Because it doesn't change. You can't change. You do not change by changing your behavior. You don't change. Oh, I'm just going to stop doing that. No. You change by recognizing who you really are in Christ. You know what he did on the cross for you, and you behave accordingly because I'm a new creation. The fruit of the Spirit, that which God gave me, is existing in me right now. It's not afar off. It's right here. So your situations that you're in, it requires you to dig deep and say, God, who are you for me now? What is this that you have given me so that I can respond? Because you know what? I have this fear that's trying to come in my life. I need a shift in my thinking about who I really am because something's got to change here. Yes. And it's in me. It's not an external. It's not an external thing because there's no more condemnation. That means nothing external, no other situation can make you anything else but what you choose. You have to choose. I love it. But Jamie was just praying before praise and worship. Says, we got a choice. We always have a choice. Come on, we always have a choice. There's no condemnation. We have a choice. We cannot have our responses dictated to us by the world around us. Come on. You watch the news. Come on, you get worked up in the news. You're allowing what you hear and what you see on the news to dictate your response. That's unbelievable what so-and-so did. Shocking. What a horrible person. Right? Did you hear what happened, what that person did? And now we are cursing that person. We are identifying that person by their behavior, and we're speaking into it, and that's how we see that person. We see that person as a sinner. We see that person as garbage. And that person deserves everything they get. Well, I got one question for you. Did you? Did you deserve everything you got? Did you deserve salvation? Did you just deserve the love? The unconditional love? Did I earn that? Did I earn my salvation? But I studied the Bible for a long time, Sandy. I went to Bible school. I deserve the love of God, don't I? Did I earn it? No, that's right, man. I did not earn it. It was freely given. It was called an unconditional love. Yet, when I was still a sinner, God's love was poured out on me. That's what breaks the chains of a religion. That's what breaks my heart because I try and I try and I try because I think that it's a behavior issue, but it's not. It's an identity issue. It's how you see yourself. And when I know God loves me because he loves me, because he loves me, I don't have to worry or be in fear anymore to come to the Father and say, you know what? I got something here that needs to change. I need a little bit of help here, Lord. Well, you shouldn't have done this. The world says, well, you shouldn't have done that and you shouldn't do that. Get that straightened out and then you come to church. But the Lord says, no, no, I have come by my Spirit to anoint, to heal the brokenhearted. You cannot get healed from a broken heart without my Spirit. I want you to come to receive. And it's because all my love was poured out on you because I did what I did on the cross that you could come. And that's the good news. Yes. Is that the truth? Yeah. If that's not the truth, then yeah, I'd be worried. But that's everything in the Word. That's the good news of God. So when we come to people and we encounter situations and circumstances, I'm bringing it to the cross. Do you know what he did for you? Because they're tired. They're tired because they're running out. They're running out of time. They're running out of love. They're running out of money. They're running out of religion. Things are limited here on earth. And they're looking for for a spark. They're looking for some sort of hope that doesn't come from this world that can carry them through. That's where the church comes in. What have we received? What have we been given? We've received such a great love. We have received it from the kingdom that is within us. We have got inside of us an internal atmosphere in the presence of God that we need to let into the place around us so that people get touched by it and affected of it by it, that we get set free because you're no longer allowing the kingdom of this world, its ideas, its logic, to affect how we're going to be on the inside. Rather, we are releasing the kingdom of God without end from in us and in our agreement and in alignment with who God is and what he says about this. Come on. It's about freedom. We should never be in a situation where we think worry, anxiety, and fear are acceptable or they are justified. Not when you got the most powerful person in the universe living on inside of you. It's not acceptable. As Sandy said, it's illegal behavior. It's not freedom, though. Come on. When we receive that fear is an acceptable feeling or emotion to have, when condemnation or something that is acceptable, we are no longer free because we have bought in to something that is of this world and it's not from God. Come on. Fear not, the Bible says, for I am with you. Right? Perfect love casts out fear. When we were singing this morning, if we're struggling with fear, what we really need is a greater encounter of God's love. Come on. That's what we need. We need a greater encounter of God's love. We need an upgrade in the encounter of God's love. There are literally places in our heart that we have locked off from the Creator of the universe, and we say, do not touch. Do not touch this area in my life. I'd rather have a religious system, a set system in my life and pattern where nothing touches this. But you know what? That's not freedom. It runs out. It's lonely. It's depressing. It's the opposite of what the fruit of the Spirit provides in our lives. Love, joy, peace. And God is just saying, hey, no condemnation, but that's not you. That's not who you are. So when I'm encountering lives and I'm encountering struggles, people, it's not right for me to just react in fear or anger to somebody who's betrayed me or done something like that. That's not my freedom. It's not my freedom to avoid people that I don't like. That's not my freedom. It's not. It's not my freedom to be afraid of death or to be afraid of sickness or to be afraid of diseases or dying. It's not my freedom. It's contrary to the Word of God. It's contrary to the Spirit of God that's inside of me. It's contrary to that. And it restricts that. It restricts God's flow from our lives. And that's the biggest thing, is that these belief systems, and that's what we receive from the world, is only restricting the love of God, the Spirit of God, from pouring out in our lives when it's required to the people around us. You ever hear that saying, it's not my first rodeo? Right? What does that mean? So, it ain't my first rodeo. Well, for some of you, it's like the first rodeo. I have never extended this kind of love that I've received towards this person. If you make up your mind, just if it's a person, you don't have to say a name or nothing or get angry, but just think of a person and think about, you know what, I'm going to love that person regardless of how they treat me. Just watch what happens inside of you. Just listen. And you may think it's your first rodeo, but I want to tell you, the spirit that's inside of you, it's not. It's not his first rodeo. And in fact, he's the grandmaster champion of rodeo stuff, whatever that is called. What's that called, Spencer? The grandmaster, the champion? Ring king leader? Okay, I don't know. But he's the champion. He is the champion of the rodeo, and he's in you. That's why I have all confidence, because greater is he that is in me. So you can't say, well, I don't know how to do this. He knows how to do it, but our confidence isn't in us. It's in him. So wherever he goes, he's with us. And what we're learning to do is just release, first of all, the love of God, the fruit of the Spirit. The first thing it said is love. The fact, listen, man, honestly, I got to apologize to this so-and-so, and maybe they've totally mistreated you. But you know what? I've had aught towards you, and I'm sorry. And I don't know what's going to happen there, but you need to get set free. And if you don't love that person, you're not free. I'm not saying you have to wash the car. I'm not saying, but there has to be a release in your heart. And you know what I'm talking about. Because it's just like when that person comes around, it's like, ugh. Or that situation comes around again, and you're like, ugh. You feel it in your heart. And what needs to happen there, there needs to be a release in the Spirit of God to say, guess what? You count on me. I've walked this. I've been on this rodeo. I know what it takes. You can trust me. And that comes from an encounter and walking in the presence of God. Amen. One of my things that I remember mostly about Shift was the time when he said, who told you that? You guys remember the who told you that? I'll do a little bit of review, but it's in Genesis 3:8, excuse me. And this is Adam and Eve, and that's that whole situation. But it said, when the cool evening breeze was blowing and the man and his wife were walking, they heard the Lord coming. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. And the Lord God called out to man and said, where are you? You know, God knew where they were. It wasn't a geographical location thing. He said, where are you in your heart towards me? And Adam replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. And immediately God said, who told you you were naked? Who told you that? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you were in danger? Who told you that because of what you did means now you need to be afraid? Who told you that? It's like we do something and now we know good and evil and we fill in the gaps for ourselves. We act a certain way and we think, oh man, I'm in trouble. Or someone does something to me and we think, oh, there's trouble there. Well, who told you that? Come on, who told you that? Who told you that your value and worth is hanging on how people respond to you? Come on, as a pastor and as a minister, how many people come to church? You know, Tom, you're a good pastor, a good minister if you got a lot of people coming to church. But if people don't come to church, guess what? You're not a very good pastor. Well, who told you that, Tom? It was Danny. No, Danny would not tell me that. We pick on him like every service. Who told you that your value is in reading good? Well, I don't read good, or I don't sing good. So I'm not going to sing, or I'm not going to read. I didn't read good. I was horrible at reading. I'm not reading. Well, it's really tough when you're a minister. Right? And I was afraid. I was afraid that people, you know, it seems silly right now, but I'm not going to tell you something that's not silly. That fear wasn't silly. That's right. I was scared. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to go to church because I thought they'd make me read. You think that's funny? But it wasn't funny to me. And I want to let you know, if you can't read good, I'm going to love you just as much now as if you did before because I know what it's like. But that's a serious thing. Or speaking in front of people or talking or sharing my faith to somebody. You know, I'm kind of afraid to share my faith with somebody because I'm afraid how they're going to respond towards me. Come on, who told you that? Because that's not who you are. God's love is unconditional. That which you have, that kingdom in you, is ever existing. It's always there. And it is the rock of our lives. And when I know that 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 God is always with me, he's always going to love me. It doesn't matter how many people show up to church. It doesn't matter how many people listen or don't listen because I know I've loved them with the same love that he gave me. And whether or not some people that you counsel get a divorce or whether or not some people take your advice and go the other way, it doesn't matter because I gave them all that I had. And I'm still going to love them even if they do that. Or I'm going to still love them if they don't come to this church. Or even if they say something bad about this church. I don't care because the love of God has been poured on me and I'm going to be free to do that for the rest of my life. And that's true freedom. That's right. I'm not letting other people dictate how I'm going to be or who I am. Come on, you suffered loss, I've suffered loss. For those that don't know me, I had a son that passed away when he was very young. And yes, it's painful. And yes, there's ideas that come to your mind. But I'm telling you, the son that comes to set you free, sets you free indeed. And he comes and he wants to speak to you in those moments where you just feel alone and abandoned and afraid. Because he wants you to know that he's always still there. Nothing, the Bible says, can separate us from the love of God. Everything, all his wrath, all the punishment was put Jesus on the cross. That's why he can come to us at every time and every circumstance. That is the good news of the gospel. And the world doesn't know it because you're not preaching it and we don't live it. Let me tell you the good news. Yeah, I know you messed up. But that doesn't condemn you to hell. That doesn't condemn you to fear. That doesn't condemn you to pain. They're afraid and they're worried because they think Christians going to come in their lives and tell you, well, you shouldn't have done this and you shouldn't have done that and that you deserve this and done that. They're afraid. I was afraid. Someone needs to come with an unconditional love. Say, you know what? I know that hurts. I know you're scared, but I want to tell you about a Savior who doesn't look at your behavior, who doesn't see all your mistakes and your shortcomings, but rather he extends out an invitation of grace and love. It says, come on! I got this for you. I paid this for you so you can know unconditional love. You can be set free of all that bondage and fear. That's not me. Come on, guys! I like that. That's the good news that we share and that we preach. People need, now more than ever, children. I'm afraid because my parents divorced and I wasn't enough to keep them together. So I'm not important. I'm not worth it. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you your worth was based on situations around him? We fill in the blanks. But the Lord said in John 16:32, he said, I have come. I have come to save that which was lost. I have come to really reveal the truth about who you are. I have come to restore what was lost in the garden. I've come to restore, because when Abraham did that, he lost something. He lost who he was. He became afraid of God. He became afraid to come to the throne room of grace. He became afraid of the presence of God, which we all absolutely need, because it's the only thing that is without limit, that doesn't ever run dry, that doesn't end. It's the truth, and we can't not be in this. We're either not receiving from God, or we're receiving from the world. We're either receiving from the world and not receiving from God, but it's just one of the two things. You can't be in the middle on this. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of neutral. I'm a neutral guy. I don't want to shake the boat or whatever. But know what? You can't be. It doesn't exist. You're either going to learn the one or the other. So if we're not jumping in and asking God the simple questions, God, what can you be for me now, right now? That maybe somebody's fighting a disease or fighting a tough relationship. God, what can you be for me now? It says the overcomer lives in me. So somewhere in here is an overcomer. God, how does that happen? This is so serious and so raw that we would have a relationship with God where we just talk to him like that because we can. And I don't mind helping you. You can come to me, Pastor Tom. But I'm telling you, I'm not the source. I can help you find the source. Yeah, sure. Danny's good. Pastor Jake, we're all good. Mary and Jim, come on. But our goal is not to have you dependent on a church or a religion, but rather that you would discover who you really are in Christ, that you would really know his love and his freedom, that it would set you free, that you would be able to walk through life, not looking over your shoulder what might happen or what's going on, but that you would know him and know all that he has for your life, that you would be free. Amen? Yeah. Woo! This is what makes me excited. And there is a revival spirit that needs to come in our hearts. Let's say, this is the good news. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a refreshing wind that's coming upon his church. And there are situations, there's life, there's this world, where it's just like an unveiling. It's an unveiling, and it's bringing such a humility, I feel, into America right now. Really, just look at everything. It's crazy. But we could just look at it, and we don't need to call people out. That's not our job. What is our job? It's call people up. Christ is out all about calling people up. I love that song Chad sings. He sings songs like, come up here, come up now, you are my beloved. I don't know what you think about yourself right now. Maybe when I was preaching and you were saying, you know what, I feel like I'm disqualified. Because you know what, I got a divorce or my kids or some situation. That means I'm not a good mom. I feel like I'm not a good mom. Well, who told you that? Come on. Who told you that you weren't a good mom? Who told you you weren't a good father? I want to tell you the message this morning. That despite all our shortcomings, despite all our behavior issues, there is a God who has an unfailing love that's like a freight train. It just doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. And you're not here this morning. I'm not just here this morning by mistake. But the Spirit of the Lord has gathered his people together to say, what? You know what? I love you, and this is who you are. and your time has not passed you. You said, I'm delayed. You know, I was thinking about the seasons that we're in. You know, it snowed, and I didn't pick up my yard the way I should have picked up my yard, and snow fell over my stuff, and I got to get to that stuff, and I was a little behind on the season, so I got to do a little bit of digging, and I got to bring something back up that maybe I pushed and I allowed it because I missed my season. Some of you, maybe we've missed our season. I know I've missed my season in some places, that I'm a little bit late. But I want to tell you something. The Bible said there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That means right now I still have a choice. That right now I have a choice. Because he says my Redeemer lives. I need to get to that stuff that I maybe buried. Because back there is what I should have done. I should have done it right then, Lord. And that's why Jesus said repent. But the kingdom of God is here. That means you are still here. And my kingdom is here for you. It's not too late. It's not the end. Who told you that this was the end? Who told you to be afraid, that it was okay to be afraid of me? Who told you were that? A bad mom. Who told you were naked? Was it God? And he's restoring us by his Spirit, and he's unveiling in our hearts who we really are. And I'm telling you right now, he's rejoicing. He's excited about who you are. I'm telling you right now, whatever you think about yourself, it's not who you are. Come on, we're not dictating. We're not allowing the past to dictate our future anymore. You know what? Maybe I did leave that back then, but it's not going to be what I do now. God, because you proved it to yourself that even though I messed up here, you're still here and you're still loving me. You didn't give up on me, Lord God, because it's not a condition. I'm not condemned to failure. I'm not condemned to worry. I'm not condemned to fear. Rather, God, I'm receiving the joy. I'm receiving the love. I'm receiving the peace. I'm receiving the compassion. I'm receiving all that your kingdom does because it's yours, Lord, and it's who I am, Father. Hallelujah! Come on, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! God, I want to thank you. You didn't stop. I love that about you. You're relentless. He's so relentless. Come on. It's time to arise. I want to tell you about champions. I want to tell you about champions who've rode this rodeo. I want to tell you about Pastor Jake and Pastor Sandy. They've been on a rodeo. They've been on a rodeo in life. I want you to tell you about Jim and Mary Jacobson. They've been on a rodeo. I want to tell you about Deb Moran. They've been on a rodeo. They've been disappointed. They've been mistreated. They've been used before they come to know Christ, and then they found a life with Christ. I'm telling you, they're a champion because they're here and they're standing. Danny and Linda, they're standing and they're saying, God, you are God, and I'm going to go forth and I'm going to do what you called to. What does that do for me? That tells me I can too. If they faced it and beat it, I can face it and beat it. If I can face to fear and stand in love, I can do it too. If they did it, I can do it. They're an example. They're here to lift you up. They're here to testify of the good news of God because they are overcomers, right? Because Christ in them is an overcomer. And we need men like that. Be quiet. I don't need you to be quiet anymore, Danny. You can start speaking a little bit louder. Linda, I can't have you quiet anymore. You need to start speaking louder because I need to hear it. There are people in here that need to hear it. Come on, you got it in you. You got it in you. There are plenty of people out there that need to hear it. And you are beautiful and wonderful people. You are champions. Sarah, you're a champion. You are an amazing mother. You are an overcomer. It's just who you are. I like it. You're a champion. I want to tell you, you're a champion. You're a champion in the kingdom. Every single one of you are a champion. It's who you are. I want you to see it. I want you to see what he sees. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you right now. I just want to pray for him. I need the prayer too. Father, I thank you for your Spirit. Lord God, if I'm in a place that I don't see myself that way, Lord, we lift it up to you right now. And God, I want you to take this. Lord, I want you to take this to the place because I need this right now. God, I need to know you in this place because I'm tired of being afraid. If that's your voice, I want you to lift that up to him right now. Come on. I want you to lift it. I'm tired of being afraid. Some of us are just fighting with fear constantly and we're done. Guess what? We can let that die and God resurrect us life, new life right now, I say, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you take all these things. and you bring it to the cross, and you give us new life. God, be there right now. I pray right now for us, Lord, as a body, whether we've missed the day and the season, God. We lay it before you right now, Lord Jesus, and we say, God, our Redeemer lives, Lord, and I know we're not finished and we're not done and it's not over yet. We thank you, Father God, for your unfailing love and your Spirit in the house this morning. It is tremendous and it is so powerful. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Jake.
All right. Well, that's the breakfast of champions. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know if you ever heard the statement, did you get it? Did you get it? And sometimes I literally had preached the message, walked away from it, didn't get it. That's bad when the preacher forgets his message, you know, 3 hours later. But did you get it? Because the truth of getting it is going to change your life forever. And what Tom was on and talking about kingdom things that God has for us, did you get it? Because if you got it, it'll begin to be a reality in your life. You know, when the first day, and we're going to have communion here, and this isn't a communion means communication. I think we got the message for communication today. And I don't know, as Pastor Tom was talking, I don't know how someone else is going to respond, but I know how I'm going to respond. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to the blood. I'm going to the bread, the body that was broken for me. And that's a personal deal. And I really believe that today, just the word that was spoken, let's go to the cross. Let's go to the blood. Let's go to the body. Let's be the people that only him and you have reckoning things together. I reckon I'm going to get it straight with the Lord in any way, shape, or form. If you're needing a miracle today, God's here. He's in us. He's around us. Amen. Would you just please stand? Hallelujah. Brethren, yeah, would you come? And what we're going to do is